We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Right now, you can get 25% off your first purchase of Strava Craft Coffee when you use code DNVR25. Not only do we love what Strava tastes like, and we pretty much run off of coffee, but it's also CBD infused, and that helps with so many ailments. It's different for everyone. Check out their reviews, and you'll be blown away with people's stories about how Strava has helped them. They deliver straight to your door, and after your first order, you can get 20% off indefinitely with their subscription service. So check out StravaCraftCoffee.com today and try out their delicious CBD-infused coffee. Be sure to use that DNVR25 code.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. As you may or may not know, I'm on the quest to find the strangest bets on a DraftKings Sportsbook. So my pick of the week, you've heard of the KBO, but have you heard of the KBL, AJ?
No.
All right. The KBL is the Korean Basketball League, not baseball. We're going over there. I went here solely because the names of the teams in the KBL are amazing. We have teams like the Daegu Pegasus. We have a team that does not appear to have a home location or sponsor in their name. They're just called the Orions. We have a team called the Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom!
And a team called the Mobus Phoebus.
So, I think we got to go with Sonic Boom.
All right. We'll take Sonic Boom. They are favorites to win over the Thunders. Plural. Thunders. They're -115 to cover 2.5 tonight at 3 a.m. Colorado time. So you can go with the Sonic Boom, get your money. My plan was to bet the under in all of these games because it's a basketball league I've never heard of, which means they can't score. That's kind of my concept with it. but in any case, go check out DraftKings Sportsbook. Get in on our picks of the weeks or make maybe some more intelligent bets than I do. You must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, of course, call 1-800-522-4700. Okay, let's get into it then. It has been one NHL game for the Colorado Avalanche. And they went from being down 2 starting lineup regulars to at least 4, arguably 5, depending on how you feel about the moves today. So we'll have a conversation about that. But let's start here. We don't have to get into it too much. I feel like we probably both expressed our opinions on Twitter enough yesterday, but Gabe Landeskog suspended for 2 games based on his hit on Kirby Dach. That happened.
Yep.
Okay. It's about what I figured we would get out of this conversation. Clearly, I didn't think it was suspension worthy, but
it happened.
Yep.
I don't know what else to say about it. You and I disagree. We think that it's garbage that it was a suspension. It's stupid, man.
Yeah, I agree. I don't understand how hitting a dude with the puck results in a suspension.
I mean, plenty of guys get hit illegally every year.
Sure, if Landy punched him in the head like Dylan Larkin did to Matthew Joseph the other night, totally. But he didn't do that. And he also got a penalty for boarding, which, like, I guess by the written definition of boarding, what Landy did was boarding. But
yeah, I didn't have a problem with it being a penalty.
It's not something that I'm going to argue. Like, I didn't think it was, but fine, whatever. If you want to call it a minor penalty, that's fine. I don't understand how you can possibly give 2 games for that play. Particularly, and while you and I may disagree with this, the way the Department of Player Safety works is they suspend based on result of the play. And Dach was completely fine.
Didn't miss a shift, played the rest of that game.
Yep. So, I don't understand. I don't understand the wild inconsistency from the Department of Player Safety. I was hoping maybe we would make it more than 1 game into the season before we had this conversation. But here we are.
I bet George Parros did too. Especially after Kadri and like the postseason that he had, which is pretty controversial. Nights 2 and 3 of the NHL season brought him like
a lot of heat. Yeah.
Immediate nonsense.
No rest for the wicked, I guess.
Yeah. So I do want to talk about the Landy thing though a little bit, because I feel like the people are conflating different arguments here.
Sure.
I have no issue with it being penalized because Dach was in a very vulnerable position and it was dangerous. But also Dach put himself in the vulnerable position and kept himself there because he just decided he was going to keep playing the puck.
He actively continued to make a hockey play.
Right. And like usually guys, when guys go down, you know, they don't just keep trying to play the puck.
Yep.
And I think the lesson that we got that we learned from this whole incident is not, hey, when you're in a vulnerable position, get rid of the puck, dumbass.
It's,
or you're going to get rocked because you have it.
Hold on to it because no one's allowed to hit you.
We learned that every single zone entry on the power play, a guy should go down to one knee along the wall. Because if he's not allowed, if you're not allowed to hit him in that position, and the response is, well, just take the puck from him and go the other way. All right, great. Nathan McKinnon should go down on one knee every single time that he's trying to get through center ice, every single time he's trying to get across the blue line. He should just straight up turn it into a quarterback slide. If you are untouchable in that position, despite putting yourself in it and continuing to try and make a play with the puck, then this should be something that it gets exploited by every team in the league.
100% with you on that. My argument was, look, every 15-year-old, 16-year-old that's just starting their junior careers, they should start practicing puck handling on one knee as much as possible. And all of a sudden, you get a bunch of kids who are really good at this. You can't take the puck away from them with their stick.
These dudes are
untouchable. It's have you ever seen that I forget the guy's name. There was a UFC fight maybe it even wasn't UFC, but some MMA organization where you can't kick a grounded fighter, right?
Yeah.
So he would just stay on one knee and like kneel around the room around this guy who was big into kicks.
So he couldn't get kicked.
Right. And it was, you know, obviously an awful fight and the rules were immediately changed after because that was some BS. But that's exactly what it made me think of. And I just...
Like, it was a penalty?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
And the 2 minutes was well earned. And there is, in no universe, an argument that what Landeskog did was not stupid.
Yep.
And dangerous and predatory. It was stupid. Especially when you bring game situation right. to it.
Plus it's really four minutes stupid. To go completely unnecessary in the game, like, no doubt. But
but Hampus's comment that he'd let go of the puck way before contact, buddy, watch it in full speed.
It
all right,
was not...
you need to stop watching it frame by frame in slow motion and remember yeah. that all of this happens very quickly. It was in real time. It's pretty bang bang.
There. Two things there. One, yeah, in real time, there's no universe where that was a late hit. It was definitely on time. Two, look at where the play happens. If Landy gets there 0.2 seconds earlier, Doc doesn't get the red line, and that's an icing.
He's 3 or 4 feet from the boards.
Yep.
Like, because Landy hits him sideways, he goes flying into the boards, and which is why, hey, it's dangerous.
But I'm
good with it, but yeah, like it was, why did he do it in the first place is a totally fair question. It was stupid.
Yeah, it was unnecessary, but
dumb decision.
There's an explanation of, look, Landy is trying to force Doc off the puck there because if Doc just sends it down the ice, the Avs get an icing call. And it's, you know, they get a face off in the offensive zone. Because Doc didn't make the red line, but yeah, still dangerous. I still understand. I'm not gonna say like we should be plowing dudes into the boards all the time. But
yeah,
you also have to. Doc can't just be on one knee playing the puck unless he can, and then we're about to see a drastic shift in how zone entries happen in the league.
Right, like Doc is. Like, he loses his balance. He's going down. And then he's on one knee. And he continues to play the puck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but you're still... If you're still trying to do something here, you're committed to getting hit. Like, it's not the other player's responsibility. You're in a vulnerable position. Like, don't go kill the guy. And I think that was a lot of people's problem with the hit from Landy. Is he hit him and drove through him. Like, he smokes him. He smokes him. And it was totally unnecessary. But that's why penalties exist. Like, that's why it's like it feels like every single time there's a big hit in the game, we're having this conversation of, is this suspendable or not?
Yep.
And I just he was penalized. They could have scored on that power play and climbed back into the game because of that decision, which is why, again, like from a perspective of, it was absolutely a stupid thing to do. Like a stupid thing to do, and it shouldn't have happened, but
unnecessary. Yes. Suspendable. I don't think so.
Right. Like that. And then two games on top of that, like,
it's not like
Landy's got a lengthy history of boarding here. His previous suspension history is like he elbowed Marchand in the head and he cross-checked Kachuk. Like, these are all years ago.
The part that's hard for me about the two games is you had an extremely similar play happen in the preseason with Blake Coleman. And he only got one regular season game for a play where a player goes down, is on his knees, and Coleman boards. The boarding is significantly worse. He boards him directly in the numbers. It's up against the wall. He's the reason the guy fell over. The guy did not try to play the puck. Everything about Coleman's play was significantly worse than what Landy did. And he gets one regular season and one preseason game. Landy gets two regular seasons. It's the same conversation we have every year about the inconsistency of the Department of Player Safety.
Well, and when you think about why the Department of Player Safety exists, it's to protect players. And that's not happening.
Yep.
And they're not accomplishing anything that they should be accomplishing with it, which is, hey, we're here to legislate the really bad hits. Mm-hmm. These, like, nickel and dime suspensions are ridiculous. And especially with the way that they have publicly gone out and gone out and said, hey, we punish injury. If you hurt a guy, we're gonna take a closer look at it. We're gonna consider that a little bit more.
Yeah.
And Kirby Dach was completely fine to look at all of the factors in that situation and come away and say that there was a two-game suspension there. I'm done. George Parros is awful at his job. And this was after last playoffs where they threw an 8-game suspension at Nazem Kadri for an unbelievably bad hit. Yep. on Justin Falk, the exact kind of hit that they have spent a lot of time trying to legislate out of the game.
Yep.
And my issue was the length. Because Ryan Reeves, what, 4 games later, like drives Graves' head into the ice and puts his entire body weight on him, is like ripping hair out, and it's just
2 games.
And it was just like none of this is hockey related.
Didn't even get suspended for the series.
None of it was hockey related, and he got a 2-game suspension.
Yeah,
and ridiculous. It's insane. And then today you've got Dylan Larkin get suspended 1 game
for literally sucker punching a dude in the face.
Right. Again, not a hockey, not a thing that is happening during a play in which, like, there's a puck battle or anything going on and it just goes the wrong way, which is how some of these, you know, some of these suspensions come about, is that, you know, a guy turns and he boards him and it's bad and everybody agrees and he feels bad and he's like, look, I really didn't mean to do it and blah, blah. There's nothing unintentional about what Dylan Larkin did.
You think Kadri's
just straight up smoked that guy in the face? You think
Kadri's trying to rip people's heads off on purpose? Like, come on.
Like, he got 1 game for punching that guy in the face. And yep. Gabe Landeskog, in the context of...
There's a universe where Landy's making a hockey play, even if it was overly aggressive.
I mean, it was certainly overly aggressive, but even as it stands, it's in the context of the game.
Yep.
He's attacking the fucking puck carrier. Like, yeah. And how is it that you are punishing guys who are making hockey plays in the context of an actual game more than this other nonsense? You know, Tom Wilson bodies Artemi Panarin, and they're like, all right, cool. We'll take 0.00006% of your salary from you. You know, oh, but he's going to notice that. You taught him a lesson. You know, you Dylan Larkin punches a dude in the face. Just sucker punches a guy in the face and gets a game.
Yeah.
But Landeskog hits the puck carrier, albeit in a dangerous and vulnerable position, that was penalized in the game, and he gets a 2-game suspension. These people are awful at their jobs, and they need an adult in the room, because clearly George Parros is a fucking moron. And normally, as a member of the NHL media, I try not to go hard on people. I try and be understanding of this, and I try not to, like, hey, these are people that work in the world that I work with and relationships and all that. George Parros is awful at his job. George Parros is awful at his job. And he has a thankless job. There's no doubt that it is a very difficult job to do. but he sucks at it. And you can't convince me otherwise just based on evidence here, just based on how he handles this. You look at all these different conversations, and it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And he shouldn't be employed by the NHL. The NHL needs to overhaul this department and come out with some clearly stated guidelines and goals and actually start to make some sense, at least at some point in its history, because they're not legislating out bad hits. They're just punishing guys randomly and wildly.
It's for spray and pray fire that makes no sense. And you look at any two random plays and you don't know if you're getting a 10 game suspension or a fine or nothing. The meme Wheel of Destiny has been around for a while, but it might as well be. That department might as well just be a wheel that they spin.
Yeah, Larkin, you know, Joseph was penalized.
Yep.
And Larkin doesn't have, you don't just get to punch guys because you're mad and you're looking to take revenge. You don't get to just sock guys in the face, which is why he's been suspended. But to do it for one game, like, you're not playing hockey at that point. You're having a little bitch fit.
Yep.
And he wasn't penalized for boarding. All right. That's bad then. I thought he had been.
Both.
But that's bad. That was very clearly boarding.
Not being penalized on the ice is an entirely different conversation about an entirely different group of people and the referees, which we probably don't have time to get into on this show.
Yeah. We do have other things to get to, but yeah. This pissed me off, man, because I know it was frustrating, and it's not like, this isn't some grand anti-Avalanche conspiracy from me.
No, of course not.
And I want to stress that, because there are people out there who are like, the homers are mad. Like, blow it out your ass, okay? These guys are bad at their jobs. There doesn't seem to be any amount of level of being upset that hockey fans can do to convince the league that something needs to change.
Yep.
But it's unfortunate, because now with a huge opportunity with the switch to ESPN and TNT, the stuff is going to be magnified, and these guys are all fucking incompetent. The entire department is run by idiots.
And that's the struggle, right? Is, like you said, it's a thankless job. Obviously, none of the fan bases are going to like it no matter what. But the problem comes in when Landy's suspended for 2 games, and sometime in the next month there's going to be a nasty hit that gets no games, and then sometime in the next month there's going to be a questionable hit that a dude gets 5+ games in, and the entire league is going to be standing here going, we have no idea what the punishment is for anything.
Yeah,
I mean, you have no clue.
You already have a league that doesn't know what goaltender interference is.
Yep.
And now when you're getting into what's punishable, every single hit now is in play.
Yep. I don't know.
I don't know how there's any way for Nazem Kadri to feel comfortable making a hit in this league anymore.
He's walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
If hits like that get you suspensions, like.
I don't know, man.
All right. Well, hopefully you.
I don't know what this means. you know, if a bunch of guys get suspended, then they don't play games, and your chances of losing future games goes up.
Hopefully you all are better at assessing dangerous situations than George Parros. Or at very least, hopefully you at least have the tools for the job, because you don't want to get it wrong when it comes to shaving your balls, all right? You don't want to get suspended for 2 games in the bathroom. It's not a pretty look, trust me.
You really don't want a 5K fine.
Oh, expensive. All right. We don't need video evidence of you.
What's cheaper? A 5K fine, or going out and getting all of the products from Manscaped to make sure that you get it right?
Exactly. I think Manscaped is about $4,960 cheaper than a 5K fine. So go to Manscaped, use code DNVR to get 20% off. And if you get the Perfect Package 4.0, you get free shipping as well. They got the lawnmower trimmer. They got the deodorant. They got the toner. They got the weed whacker as well. Whatever hair you need to take care of and the rest of your body too. Breath mints. You want to smell good. They got you top to bottom. Don't be the Department of Player Safety when it comes to your private parts. That's all I'm saying. All right. Check out manscaped.com today. Please use that DNVR code. Excuse me. While you're at it, also, you know, come on down to the DNVR bar. We have tons of exciting stuff planned. Obviously, if you're a member and you've seen the event on Saturday, buy your tickets.
We can talk about this now.
We can talk about it a little bit, yeah.
Yes, we can actually get into some of this just because, I mean, Altitude and everybody else.
Yeah, there's
has already some talked about it.
Yep.
Which is why we weren't allowed to talk about it because we weren't really. We didn't know what the game was.
Yeah,
we didn't. We weren't the ones who were allowed to spoil the surprise of all the people who are going to be in town for Pierre Lacroix's banner raising ceremony tomorrow.
Yep.
But we will say that some of the guys who are coming in town are going to be attending the bar tomorrow after the game for our private event. That's the private event. Is that DNVR and Lacroix Hockey have kind of teamed up to make DNVR bar the bar to be after the event tomorrow. The official, like the Lacroix family, will be there, and a handful of these guys, a handful of the guys that are going to be in town for the ceremony will be at the bar hanging out. It's a members only thing. So if you were in the Discord or got one of the email blasts that got sent out for being a member, then you have, I still think that there's a couple of limited tickets left, but I don't know that there's many at all.
It's super limited.
Yeah.
So and if you want to go, like, get them very quickly because.
Yeah.
When obviously we say private event, we mean private. Like, yeah. After the game, we're kicking everyone out and only people with tickets can stay.
Yeah, and so. We will we're not 100% certain that the timing is going to work out the way that we want it to, but if we do get a good break from the universe, we are hoping to have Adam Foote, among others, come on to the post-game podcast tomorrow.
If nothing else, it might not end up being a live post game, but we'll certainly have something from talking to those guys. So it should be fun one way or another. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be an absolute blast. Get my lawnmower signed. You know how it goes. Got to do it. Anyway. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. All right. So we've wrapped up the Landy conversation. The ultimate point being here, though, whatever you think about it, is he's suspended for 2 games. We also know at this point, it looks like Nathan MacKinnon will not be back for Saturday.
Well, there's still a chance, but I think everybody is more or less preparing for the reality that MacKinnon is not only out for that game, but a couple more.
Add on top of that, Val Nichushkin is now week to week.
We saw him hurting during the game with that. He kept looking at his wrist.
Yep.
He was uncomfortable and finished it out, but that's such a bummer.
And there are a couple others players dinged up but expected to play in Helm and Burakovsky.
Darren Helm, Andre Burakovsky hurting but not not to the point where they are expected to miss tomorrow's game.
So, on that note, the Avs were only running 12 forwards, which means with Landy out and Nichushkin out, they were necessary to make two call-ups if they wanted to run a 12 forward lineup.
Yep.
They ultimately ended up making three call-ups because they decided to send Alex Newhook to the AHL.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about all the facets of this. Where do you want to start, AJ?
So some of this, I am of the opinion, some of this is money. Yeah. Because this happened at the very beginning of the season. The Avs have not had an opportunity to bank any of the cap
bonus
space.
Cap, sure.
Yeah. And then while Newhook is cheaper than Raanta, it's negligible across like a daily cap hit. It's negligible.
A couple hundred dollars.
Yeah. And literally.
Yeah.
And I think that the team has liked what they've seen more from Raanta because he plays a simpler game and it's a lot easier for him to adjust and slide into whatever role that is being asked of him. I think he's looked more comfortable than Newhook right now in the NHL because of that exact reason. Right now, Newhook is a man. He's searching for a role, searching for a position. Doesn't look comfortable at wing. He's, to be honest, he's never looked comfortable at wing. He's always been at his best when he's been a center. And I think that Raanta is a guy that they're just more comfortable with just skating up and down the ice and being a big guy that goes and runs into people. And that exact description is why I also think Curtis McDermott is probably going to play forward. And then some of the money implications, I think, come into it. And that's why you've got Mateau and Megna, who are at 750K, and Sakura at 800K. Sakura instead of Sherwood. They spent the money on that one.
We'll get into the other call-ups in a little bit. This Newhook situation. Look, if Newhook is down in the AHL for a handful of games,
we get this comment from this person every single show. We get it. We understand how you feel.
Yep. But I do find it a little bit interesting that, look, this was a great opportunity to give Newhook a look in the top six.
I struggle there just because I just think he's played so poorly.
And I think you can make an argument for him not having earned it, but I also struggle with the concept of demoting him to the AHL after a single NHL game this season. It feels like,
well, he also had a pretty uninspiring preseason.
That's true.
And so it feels like this is more of the same. That said, I mean, if we're talking about merit, what have any of these guys that just got called up done to deserve it other than being old?
In a situation where all of a sudden your four of your bottom six players are AHLers, let's be real, that's the time you decide to send them down. It's certainly a weird look, I'll put it that way. I don't think it makes a ton of sense in this specific situation to send Newhook down.
I mean, I think it makes sense. That wasn't something that I thought surprised me.
Okay.
I mean, we talked about why making the opening night roster just isn't that big of a deal, because you're always on shaky ground when you're one of those young kids anyway. I think the most surprising part, and this is the name that I don't understand not being part of this.
I already know what's coming here, but...
I mean, I don't understand how Mikhail Maltsev is your last cut and is the guy that had looked the most comfortable as a role player, and then you don't bring him up.
His cap hit's only essentially 800K. Could have easily made that money work the same.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much space they have. I don't know how up against it they are, but like Shane Bowers is the most expensive call up that they had available to them.
Yep.
So I certainly wasn't expecting him to be the guy anyway,
But Maltsev is 9K more expensive than Dylan Sakura and showed quite a bit more.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think
so. That's the part. The lack of Maltsev is the only part of this that makes no sense to me. Especially like Sakura played like shit in the preseason, and Mattel like
didn't look good.
Yeah. Like missed half of camp because of COVID stuff, and then didn't do a whole lot. So
certainly. From the perspective of having earned the opportunity in preseason and camp, I don't think the call-ups make any sense. But
okay. Well, Peter did the math for us. Sending Newhook down gave the Avs 2.306 million of space. Mateau, Megna, and Sakura make exactly 2.3.
So they had to save $5,000.
Yeah, so they didn't. Way. So they didn't necessarily have the extra.
They'd have been a fraction over with Newhook instead of Sakura or something.
Well, with Maltsev instead of Mateau.
Well, so. I mean, anyone, any more dollars essentially at that point, right? And they'd have been over. However, you get to those more dollars.
Yeah.
If they freed up 2.3 and used exactly 2.3.
Yeah, I mean that's. That is cutting it super close.
So the reality
I think part of the reason that Newhook goes down is because of the money.
I agree with that for sure.
But like he's also just not played particularly well. And instead of watching him languish like you did with Jost for a while, I think that you know,
getting him
down with the Eagles for, I don't know. I look, if he's down there for 2 months, I'm going to be annoyed.
That's a problem, right? He can't spend significant time down there. If it's a handful of games, sure, whatever.
JT Confer was not getting waived. We have got to get past this. JT Confer was not getting waived or bought out or traded or any of that stuff. That was not happening. We've just got to get past what did not happen that you wanted to over the summer. We've got to move on.
And I think the reality for this call-up situation as a whole for the Avs is from the beginning, Landy gets suspended, Nichushkin gets hurt. The Avs have immediately switched into, okay, let's get through the next two games. Once the next two games are over, MacKinnon will be back. Landy will be back. This is fine.
It does have, I mean, Nichushkin week to week opens this up.
There is one spot which becomes extremely interesting because it's a top six spot that's going to be open longer term than just the immediate two games.
Yeah, but JT Confer balled out against Chicago. Come on, guys. Are we ever going to give the guy an opportunity to bounce back from last season, or is he going to have to, is last season going to hang over his head forever? Genuinely asking, like, does he get an opportunity? Because we're blowing off the fact that he was really good against Chicago.
Yep. So, moving on from the JT Confer thing, I have to hide the chat from AJ, or he's going to stick on this forever. How does this affect the immediate two games? Because the Avs lineup is markedly worse. Is this a don't worry too much about the results of the next two games situation, or are these still games that the Avs can realistically win?
Look, you still have a great defense. I am convinced that we're going to see a kick ass version of Cale Makar, because usually when he has really quiet games, really quiet games are usually answered by him breathing fire. And look, like you paid Darcy Kemper.
Yeah.
You paid for Darcy Kemper. They have yet to pay him, but you paid for Darcy Kemper to go out there and do your thing. Like you have a top tier defense, even without Devon Taves, you have a top tier defense and you have a top tier goaltender. You should be competitive. Now, you're missing 2/3 of the league's top line. Great. That just opened. This is just opening the door for my guy Miko to continue to really begin that Hart Trophy push.
So like, you have to understand the significant impact here. You look at the Avs top six, and you're going from a top six where there were five guys that you are excited about every night in Colorado to, you now have Miko and Kadri, and then Berkey. A less than 100% Berkey.
Yeah.
Three spots that are going to be filled by guys that, let's be real, are likely going to have to play above their head. And then you have a fourth line that is essentially, you're going to play at 6 minutes a night. Extremely minimally, right?
Yeah.
So you're left with this weird group of middle six-ish forwards that are going to have to find a way to get the job done.
Yeah. I mean, Tyson Jost has to step up, dude. This is no longer, this guy is surrounded by good players or whatever, but Tyson Jost got to step up. Andre Burakovsky got to score. You know, like, Mikko Rantanen's got to dominate. He's got to be the man here. So, you know, they've got to bring, like, those guys have to bring the thunder. Sam Girard got to play better than he did against Chicago.
Yeah.
Cale Makar got to be better than that. Like, those guys have to be better. You know, JT Compher's got to have, look, he's going to have five shots on goal again. I'm not saying he's going to score.
Yeah.
But that's like JT Compher last year, one of the biggest issues that you had with his play was he just drifted through games and didn't do anything. You know, and him having 10 shot attempts, even with some of those being, even with some of those being like force fed to him on a power play that was kind of ridiculous, was still a guy who impacted the game pretty consistently throughout. I mean, so
guess what? The power play for the next two games is going to be a lot of continuing to force feed JT Compher. Yeah. So
it's going to be really interesting. That's for sure. Yeah. I mean, JT Compher, Shane Bowers, we just talked, he's the most expensive guy. So the org doesn't hate Shane Bowers.
This is a significant portion of these moves is because of money.
Yeah, some of this is definitely some of it is definitely money.
Not all of it, but some of it.
Yeah, but it also, like, when you have Shane Bowers on an ELC at $200,000 more expensive than the other guys, and you are $6,000 from the limit,
yeah,
you have to make a decision there.
Yep. It's
tight,
to say the least. During game two of the season,
this is such a dumb opinion that if you guys all knew what you were talking about, you'd be working for the Avs, because people are allowed to have opinions. It's
definitely,
yeah, that's why our show exists.
Yep.
We don't work
for the Avs either.
Yeah. We might smack them down every once in a while, and we might make asses of ourselves being wrong, like blatantly wrong about shit, but people are allowed to have opinions. Nobody is sitting here saying that they're smarter than Joe Sakic. But, no. I mean, that's also the same guy who traded a fourth-round pick for Curtis McDermott, which was stupid.
The whole thing with suspensions is that they still count against the cap. That's the punishment. But, you know.
No, you have to be on LTIR.
Correct. No one is on LTIR because if you go on LTIR, you have to miss 30 days, I believe it is.
Yeah, I think it's 10 games or...
Or 30 days.
It's a minimum of 10 games, and I think... I'm not sure it's 30. I thought it was 24 days, but...
Maybe, sure.
Either way, longer a than minimum of that. Right. You are committing to that, and no. There isn't any cap relief on that right now.
Can't get cap relief on McKinnon because they're not going to move him off the roster. There is no COVID protocol situation with the roster anymore. It's just...
I have not actually read this year's COVID stuff. So I don't actually, I was just assuming, but I actually don't know what the COVID exemption for cap stuff actually is.
Pretty confident there isn't one. Go look it up if you're 100% sure, because I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty confident that there is no exemption to cap if your guys are missing time for COVID. Is what it is.
Yeah, I'm just not sure. Oh yeah, this is the part where they just talk about it. Make sure everybody gets vaccinated. All right. I'll continue to try and find this.
You keep looking. As we go. In the meantime, look. There are pretty much no expectations at all from any of these call-ups, correct? These are...
Just survive. Survive. This is 100% about just surviving.
So, you know what? If you want to treat your meat with a little bit more respect than the Avs treat the meat of these players' bodies, certainly the way George Parros treats the meat of players' bodies, go get Hassle Cattle Company. But they're unbelievably delicious meat, whether it be their Wagyu beef burgers or their amazing steaks. They have a ton of delicious meat for you to eat. They got bone-in ribeyes. They got tomahawk steaks. They got New York strips, sirloins. You name it. Hassle has you covered top to bottom. You use code DNVR10 when you purchase online at hasslecattlecompany.com to save 10% on every single order. So get over there. Check them out today. Any orders over $200, you get free shipping too. Go get yourself some damn good beef with Hassle. Then check out Chevalier Mortgage, both Mike and Virginia. Been doing it here in Colorado forever. With prices going up, it's creating natural equity in your home. If you have mortgage insurance, chances are you can refinance out of that and make this bubble work for you. Mike is a certified financial planner, so he can take care of everything you need when it comes to whether it be refinancing or looking for your first home loan. He'll look at your entire financial picture and find the right move for you. You can check him out at dnvrmortgage.com, or call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578. Last, certainly not least, Green Mountain Dental Group. Best damn family dentist in the Denver metro area. They're over in Lakewood, just 15 minutes from downtown. When you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with these guys, they hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush. They've been doing it forever. If you haven't gotten in yet, you got to get in. They're, look, nobody likes dentist work. Green Mountain Dental makes it as good as you can make dentist work. Let's be honest. They do a very good job. They take care of you. They always remind you when you have stuff coming up and what you need to do. So check out Green Mountain Dental Group today and go make sure you're taking care of your mouth meat. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Looking at the immediate for the Avs. Obviously, they have St. Louis coming up. A big game for more off-ice reasons than it is on, I suppose, for Colorado, given that this is the Pierre Lacroix ceremony stuff. But the only real impact that we're going to see long-term here is who moves up to the second line.
I mean, who moves up to the first line, man?
But that's going to stop as soon as McKinnon and Landeskog come back, right?
Sure, they could be looking at least two more games of this.
Certainly at least one. And then Landy will be gone for the second, no matter what. So I guess let's start there. How do you create the top line? Obviously Mikko is going to be there, but
Mikko and Kadri, I think, are the givens.
Yep. And then you have that other wing.
Yeah, with all the changes today, I wish I actually had their full roster just sitting in front of me to drag and drop pieces together. Boy, you know, talk about undue promotion, but you might throw a Sampo Ranta up somewhere. I was going to say,
just send it with Ranta on one of the top two lines.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I think what you want to do is you want to try and spread some of it out.
Yeah, I'm actually with AJ in this one. I think you probably keep Berkey away from Kadri and Rantanen.
Yeah, and then I would probably have Compher as your 2C.
Yeah.
And then I would have Jost as 3C.
Okay. So your top six is something like Ranta, Kadri, Rantanen on the top line, Compher, Berkey, yeah. And then what on the left wing?
Let me
pull some details up here. Start digging into it on cap.
Yeah, so I would have that's what I would do. I would do Ranta. I would do Ranta, Kadri,
Rantanen,
just so I could make Connor's life as difficult as possible to call the game.
Then Berkey, Compher. Yeah.
So, and then left to right. Man, you run out of guys that you want to play there really fast.
Yeah. That sixth guy in the top six is just not going to be a good answer, full stop.
Yeah. Honestly, I probably would go like Sakura.
Someone with some shooting ability, at least.
Yeah. And then Compher and Burakovsky.
So then you're left with, like, you end up with Jost,
Helm, and then I would, yeah,
O'Connor as your third line or something.
That's exactly what I would do. Okay. Is the third line would be Helm, Jost, and then O'Connor.
Try and be the most low event line in the history of hockey.
Yeah. and then I would go Mateau, Megna, and McDermott as the fourth line.
Yeah.
Woo! We got there, fam.
It was a rough ride, but we made it.
It's fucking bad, but we got there. Dude, a third line of Helm, Jost, and O'Connor. Like, you took a fourth line that had some fair question marks going into the season and immediately made it your third
promoted line. Promoted it to the third line right away. And this is where, yes, look, sure, money is a problem, but it feels bad that they couldn't make Maltsev work here. It feels like there could have been a real opportunity to provide to Maltsev in an NHL lineup for at least a couple games, if not more. So, I don't know. It's a tough spot. And there's also the potential that they play McDermott on the back end and just run 11 forwards.
Don't. I mean, that's what they're doing, but without the back end part.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Because right now, I think you have to lean into your strength.
What, being your defense is really good if McDermott's not on it?
Yes.
Okay.
lean into your strength. And look, if McDermott, like, takes a shift defensively,
fine.
Whatever. But that's, like, it. Like, maybe a shift defensively. And it would only be because, like, a guy's having a skate problem and, you know, unavailable, or, you know, whatever. But mostly I just, I would defend my game plan. I would go full Ken Hitchcock. I would park the bus. I would park the bus in front of Kemper and try and block 4,000 shots tomorrow. And try and win 1-0.
Get one goal from Mikko. Maybe you get a goal from Berkey and then win 1-0 or 2-1.
Straight up, I would park the bus, man. I would just say, we are the best defensive team in the NHL. We're going to lean on those guys. We're not going to take chances.
Yeah.
We're not going to give them, you know, our defenders are not going to be nearly as aggressive as they normally are, which unfortunately takes away from what they do well.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I'm not taking chances because you don't have your normal forward core to help try and figure it out.
All right. So, option number one, no one important get injured. Is that the...
Yeah.
That's really all that matters for these next two games.
And survive the 5 minutes that you're going to be without Nazem Kadri when Braden Schenn fights him 14 seconds into tomorrow's game. Or whoever decides that they're going to fight him. So
yeah, probably going to happen. Anyway.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts here, AJ, on the Avs roster situation as it stands to start
this season? It's a bad spot to be in, but you know what? This helps you. This forces you to win in a different way. This forces you to kind of stretch yourself out and say, okay, we've got to find solutions here. We've got to find a way. Our regular identity of go super hard on the top line and then rely on a dominant defense and a good goaltender is not going to fly here. You don't have that top line. So
it's almost the inverse of last season, right? Last season, the Avs had to find ways to win games with a defense that included guys like Keaton Middleton and Dan Renouf.
Yeah.
Now it's the forward core that you're YOLOing out Dylan Sakura's in your top six, potentially.
Yeah, Dylan Sakura, Stefan Matteau, Jason Magna, Darren Helm, and Logan O'Connor are all in your lineup. Instead of those guys rotating in and out on your fourth line, they're all in your lineup.
Yep.
Look, Curtis McDermott cannot answer the bell for Nazem Kadri tomorrow, is what I'm saying. They have not gotten they might still want him to, after the fall kit, they might still want a piece of him.
The only person that can answer the bell for Kadri in any situation is Kadri at this point. So
yeah. McDermott can't be like, I got it for him. Also, Kadri would be like, Kermit, please.
I got this. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all not right. The type of dude. You know, like you could see if it was like Burakovsky, right? Where Berkey might be like, I'll let the big fella throw the fists.
Totally. But not Kadri.
Yeah, not Kadri.
Anyway. Yeah. So the Avs roster might not be the most exciting for Saturday night, but still super excited about the
this roster. This roster would still beat Arizona 4-1. Oof. Because Arizona is so bad, man. It's Friday night. I imagine we've all been sitting around watching as much of the NHL action this week as possible.
Yep.
Just because we're all excited. Do you want to take a couple minutes just to talk about the league real quick? Just because it's been fun to watch.
I love the first week of the season. Scores are outrageous. 7-6 games, 8-2, 6-3. Just every game has been an absolute blast of a hockey game for the first week of the season.
Yeah.
It's so fun at the start. Arizona needs to not play Carter Hutton ever again. But
I mean, who do they play?
I know. They're in trouble. They're in trouble one game into the season. But that one was wild. Yeah, that Tampa-Detroit game was bonkers beyond just the Dylan Larkin punch to the face. But
has anybody ever heard of the other goaltender that they've got in Arizona right now?
I don't even know who it is.
I can't say his name. I've never seen this person's name before.
Let's see.
Karel Vejmelka.
Ah, yes, of course. They drafted him.
He's a Czech goaltender.
Oh, Nashville drafted him in 2015.
Who's never played? I don't know.
He spent his entire career in the Czech leagues.
Yeah. I worked the game. I worked the Avalanche game, so I haven't seen a game on TNT yet.
TNT is significantly better than ESPN.
Okay.
For opening weekend, they were significantly better.
Yeah, Connor Timmins last night, that was bad.
He struggled. He also, Arizona said, all right, bud, top pairing, go at him.
You're next to Jacob Chychrun, go. And it was like, as much as we might have liked Connor Timmins, that's a lot.
Like, if you go back and listen to our love for Connor Timmins, we're like, oh yeah, he'll work his way into your top four as like your number four this year, maybe. Right. And you're like, he's our two. Let's go.
He's next to Chychrun. We got this. And it was just like, oh no, 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 no. Maybe by the end of the year, but on day one, are you trying to drown him? Like, are you trying to sink his confidence? Because that's, oh my gosh.
I don't mind the ESPN.
So Arizona looked bad.
The ESPN crews are fine. Like, I have no problem with their casting crews, but the broadcast standpoint, first of all, the ESPN score bug kind of sucks. I'm glad that they're fixing VGS to VGK, though. It's a good start.
Yeah, I don't think that V-E-J-M-E-L-K-A is pronounced Korjanash or whatever Spencer was trying to convince me of.
Coronash is what they
Korjanash. Yeah, no. V-E-J-M-E-L-K-A. I have no idea what that guy's name is.
Yeah, I like
no idea.
I liked Panger too. I'm someone who likes Panger, but
you know, I like Darren Pang, but they're so two things. He's got to be limited, and you've got to turn his volume down.
Yeah, that is true. The one thing I think ESPN did very well, gave some people motion sickness, but the sky cam was dope.
The sky cam on the power play, I loved it, but you cannot move it that much.
Yeah.
You just cannot move it that much. I just chill out.
So, look, I think both ESPN and TNT are significant upgrades in NBCSN, especially NBCSN at the end there when they clearly didn't care about anything.
Anything.
So.
And their crews were just awful, man. Yeah. It was all like Mike Babcock. Like,
yeah.
You guys.
That was rough, man.
It was so awful. And. I love the studio crew that they have doing Kraken games.
Yeah.
I know this is not ESPN or TNT, but Allison Lucan is amazing.
Let's go.
She's so awesome. And more of her analysis is what's up.
All for it. I think,
she's been an amazing Twitter follow for like years. And seeing her on studio television, she like rolls right in and is like, yep, I'm better than everybody else at this. she's really only going to appeal to like your like serious hockey nerds. Otherwise, people are going to be like, what is going on here? Like, this is too in depth.
Well, if you're in this podcast, you got to be at least a little bit of a hockey nerd. So
I didn't like Patrick Sharp very much. Like, he was great to look at.
He was absolutely the eye candy for sure.
Yeah, but I didn't think
he had any particularly in-depth takes or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have not gotten to see the TNT thing yet because I worked that game.
Let's be honest. Gretzky is on that not for the hardcore hockey fan, right? Gretzky is on the cast to be like for casual fans, like, hey, we have the greatest player ever.
Yeah, like the NBA show on TNT is so good because
don't even start the NBA show. Or we're gonna fight about Charles Barkley again.
Well, because like Charles Barkley and Shaq, you know, like they're all over the place, right? They're like really big personalities, but for casual basketball fans, like they're super recognizable guys. So you tune in to hear what those guys have to say. Getting Gretzky on your hockey cast is just smart because for all that's happened, Gretzky is still the hockey name that Americans recognize.
It's bullshit.
Yeah. Quick recap. The suspension was bullshit. It's good to see you, though.
Thank you for the whole
first 20 minutes.
Yeah, we really get go back it. And we get into in depth on it. But
Ernie on the NBA show was awesome. I love Ernie.
All right, I think we're good here then.
Yeah, it's been a really fun first week in the NHL outside of this Dops bullshit.
Yeah,
which I told somebody on Twitter the other day that this is like outside of like the rampant culture of racism and misogyny and homophobia that still is way too prevalent in hockey.
Yeah, the same stuff that's been swept under the rug for the last decade. Yeah. That still sucks.
But. Yeah, like outside of all of that, the thing that frustrates me the most as a hockey fan is trying to figure out the Dops nonsense. Understanding what they view as suspendable because it's the least clear thing in the league outside of goaltender interference, which is mostly just like
made up on the spot.
Yeah, like who freaking knows.
All right, we're gonna get out of here for the day. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, however you consume the podcast. If you're not a member, go become a member. Maybe consider buying a ticket for our thing tomorrow night. It's going to be awesome. We're super excited about it. The names are that are going to show up are going to be dope. It's going to be a great time. We hope to see a lot of you there. That's it. We're out of here. Thank you again. We appreciate all of y'all. We will be live post-game tomorrow. We'll see what it looks like. Like AJ mentioned, we may delay the post-game a little until like 30 minutes after the game is over, depending on if we want to have guys on or not.
Yeah, we're not 100% sure like what our options are with the guys tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, if Foot wants to jump on, and if any of these other guys that want to jump on,
they are all welcome to be there. Yeah.
Then we would love to have as many of them on as possible. I mean, we're just going to fill up the whole studio, and Rudo and I are just going to disappear while they are. Right. They just, all just bullshit about just the live game.
Camera
and
of them shooting the shit. Let's go.
And it turns into the greatest podcast in history. Yes. that would be great, but we aren't 100% sure. So there's a chance that we do something really awesome tomorrow, and there's a chance that it's just the two of us, and then something really awesome happens later.
Yep.
And you guys will see it in a few days.
One way or another, we love all y'all. Yeah. Till tomorrow, we are out of here.